This is a podcast about the hardcore community.
Made by and for those who live authentic lives and embrace hard truths.
We archive the stories of the bands and people who make this lifestyle possible. I'm Josh Lyon.
And I'm Greg Benoit.
And this is the Hardcore Archive Podcast. Welcome to the Hardcore Archive Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Lyons. Greg might be joining us later tonight, but otherwise it'll probably just be me rolling solo tonight. We're going to be talking with three-fourths of Sadai tonight. As always, give us a follow on Instagram, Enterprise Hardcore and Hardcore Archive Podcast. Greg always posts all the stuff for the episodes, as well as like live videos from all the shows he goes to around the region. I post tons of new releases. You can go to our link trees and find information for the podcast and everything else. Tons of shows coming up locally. After this airs, I'll have just done a show, and I don't have anything else coming up, really. But go to everybody else's shows. I know our guests tonight have one coming up, so we'll talk to them about that, obviously. But there seems to be tons of shows coming up in Rochester, Buffalo, and Syracuse. So just get out to whatever you can, obviously. So, yeah, like I said, we're going to be talking to Sadai tonight. We got three of the guys here tonight. We're going to be talking with Ryan, Robbie, and Ed. Based on how I'm looking at it on my cameras tonight, we'll bring them on in this order. Eddie, how you doing tonight?
I'm living the dream, man. How are you doing?
Pretty much the same, man. Pretty much the same. I'm a little under the weather, but I had COVID last month, so it's kind of like a walk in the park having any kind of illness at this point, you know?
I had COVID this month, so that was tons of fun.
Making its way around the neighborhood, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I'm surprised we waited close to 4 years till our household finally got it. We always kind of wondered if maybe we'd had it before, but having had it this time, I can safely say it was definitely the first time I had it, because that shit was pretty brutal. Ugh. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
All right, so next up, we're going to say what's up to Ryan. How you doing tonight, Ryan?
Good, man. Just celebrated my birthday today. Robbie and I went to Dinosaur Barbecue. We do an annual birthday trip and feast on barbecue, so it's a good day.
Well, happy birthday, and thanks for joining us on the festive occasion.
Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate you having us, man. I love the podcast.
So. Hell yeah. I've been a vegetarian for many years and vegan for almost as many, so I've never experienced dinosaur barbecue, but we did actually have barbecue tofu for dinner tonight, so it's almost we had the same experience as you guys, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
And on vocals, we got Robbie. How you doing tonight, Robbie?
I'm excellent, man. Thank you so much for having us. And yeah, I'm in the food coma from Ryan's celebration. We were joking that we'd be asleep on the podcast. But yeah, speaking of the vegan stuff, I'm not a vegan, but the vegan options have expanded so much that vegans are no longer exempt from the degeneracy of gluttonous eating. So
yeah, especially when they give them clever names like plant-based and such to not turn off all the other people, you know.
Yep.
But yeah, we've been talking about doing this for a while, because I know I booked you guys like actually a little over 2 months ago now, and that was the night we first started discussing doing this, so I'm glad we were finally able to make it all happen. So yeah, we'll mainly talk about the band, but I know Ryan sent me some shit he did like a while back in another state, so I'm curious to talk about everyone's journey into this band. So I guess again, we'll kind of go from left to right on my end. If you guys were in any previous bands before, we'll talk about that first, and then we'll jump into current stuff. Eddie, anything before what you're doing now?
Yeah, I was I've been in bands for my whole life, really. Ever since I got into playing guitar, I was in the band 13 years old, and I'm 32 now, so almost 20 years. And the other band that I'm in that's like somewhat active, we're called Amber Lamps, but we're downstate from the New York City area, which is where I'm originally from. So I play with those guys maybe like once a year, but we're a pop punk band. We sound like Green Day and Blink-182 and that kind of stuff. So it's a ton of fun. If you want to check out Amber Lamps, I play bass in that band too, and have a lot of fun bass lines dancing around. And you know, it's a ton of fun. So I've been with them right when I started college. So 2009, I started with Amber Lamps, and then, you know, I went strong until I moved here in 2018. And then now we just kind of do a show here and there. But, you know, my singer guitar player, he had a son. You know, we're expecting our first daughter pretty soon. So, you know, it's not really, we're not traveling to play shows anytime soon. Let's put it that way.
I thought you said Anne Berlin the first time. I was like, hearing that right?
No, Amber Lamps.
You say you're expecting, or the other person in the band is?
someone had us on, and we are expecting too.
Oh, congratulations. That's awesome. Thanks, man.
Yeah. We're having the baby girl in March.
Yeah. Really yeah, we got two. We had a boy first and a girl second. So it's cool. Never a dull moment around these parts, you know. I'm a stay-at-home dad too. So that's how I'm able to check out all the new hardcore a lot of the time, because I get like 10 free minutes when I'm preparing something here or there, and I'll just go on Bandcamp real quick, you know. Any other bands or anything, or you said that brought you into Rochester pretty much?
Yeah, that brought me into Rochester. I met Robbie, you know, what, 12 years ago, playing video games online, and then meeting somebody through him, I moved to Rochester sight unseen. So, you know, kind of crazy story. And now we're in a band together, screaming and playing music and having a great time.
You guys still play a lot of video games too?
Yeah. I know Robbie does. I've been cooling off a little bit recently, just kind of in preparation for the baby. I kind of feel like maybe that part of my life of grinding League of Legends and StarCraft until late in the night is a thing of the past, but you know, we still play a little bit. We still have a good time.
I was never a huge gamer, and most of my hobbies got kind of put off on hold for the first couple of years, but my son is now a gamer, basically. Like, he has a Switch, and he's into other stuff, so it's kind of like reliving all that stuff through him, so it's pretty fun, you know? And he's much better at me at most video games by now, and he's going to be 6 in like a month and a half, so... But yeah, Ryan, I know you sent me some stuff. I'm curious. So you're obviously not originally from Rochester then?
No, I grew up in Cape May, New Jersey. So very small shore town, very southern tip of New Jersey. Probably about 20 years ago, had a very vibrant punk and hardcore scene. We had a local Legion Hall we would rent out every Friday and Saturday and pack. A good buddy of mine it got shut down because fights and, you know, young kids being young kids and hardcore and breaking shit all the time. But a friend of mine, Steve Mitchum, he's back to booking shows there again, all ages shows. They had a really great return show last month, had a packed show, so it was cool to see. I didn't get a chance to make it down there, and then I unfortunately also caught COVID this month, so it's definitely going around up here. But yeah, man. So the band I sent you was Earth Eater. We were a hardcore band with all of my, really my childhood best friends that we grew up in music together. We were active for probably about 2 years, and then a few of us started moving to various parts of the country and kind of disbanded. I had another band that wasn't necessarily hardcore, but was probably the most active. It's called Monswoon. It was more along the lines of like Run for Cover records, like kind of alt punk bands and stuff. So we were active for a few years, put out a few EPs and a full length, and had some fun with that. And then probably about 10 years ago, I left for Denver and have kind of been all over the place until I moved here a few years ago to essentially be with my wife. And we got married, and I met Ed through my brother-in-law on a Craigslist ad and changed jobs a couple of years ago. And he was like, "Hey, we need a bassist, and come join Sedai." So I was like, "Fuck it, let's do it. I'll hang out and meet everybody and start playing for this band now." So time allowed, and I was pumped to do it.
How long were you in Denver for?
A couple years. I moved there in 2014, and then I left at the end of 2016. I went back to Jersey for a few months, and then I moved down to Florida for a little bit, and then got into my relationship with my wife while I lived in Florida. Story for another day, but within 2 months of us dating, I moved up to Rochester, took a leap, and where I've been ever since. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I spent about 4 months in Denver in 2006, so that's why I'm always curious whenever I hear anybody mention Denver to see what time frame they were there and how long they were there for, because I've heard, unfortunately, not the greatest things about the way the city is kind of more run down now in recent years. I don't know if you were there when that started happening. I've seen like videos and shit on like TikTok and stuff of like where like the 16th Street Mall begins, like that area. It's like tent city basically now, and it wasn't like that when I was there. Like, obviously, there's going to be homelessness everywhere you go, and especially in a big city, but there was definitely, like, that's like a major part of downtown, and now it's, like, a basically tent city, you know what I mean?
Yeah, when I was there, legal weed just become a thing within the last 2 years. So the migration was insane. When I got there, I was a transplant. People did not really think kindly of a lot of the people moving in and clogging up the streets. They just didn't have the infrastructure for it. And then at the time, I was working for Walmart doing asset protection. I got pulled out to a store that was notoriously bad for high theft and high crime. And it was right near like one of the metro rails. So there was Tent City right on the other side of that rail. And anytime you drove downtown, there was blocks of just tents everywhere, homeless everywhere. And then like you see some shit like walking down Colfax Ave, like homeless people, you know, doing things to other homeless people that you don't really want to see in public or even in private. It was kind of wild, but it was cool. I loved living there. Got to go to the Marquee a lot and see a lot. I was like more involved with people in the metal scene there, but it was cool. I got to make some friends while I was out there.
Yeah, I think when I was there, I saw Terror a couple times and, Gorilla Biscuits. It was the year Gorilla Biscuits first got back together. Yeah. But the thing you said about the weed being legalized, like my girlfriend had a discussion about this recently because she knew somebody who had gone there and he said the exact same thing. And I was like, man, that makes sense because I tried going back there before it all got legalized, like maybe 4 or 5 years because I wanted to move there. But I was like, man, it's so expensive here. And I don't think all these people realize that. They're like, yo, I'm just going to go there and smoke weed legally and get an apartment, but like the shit's expensive as fuck in Colorado. You know what I mean?
Was it expensive before
weed was the real estate was always expensive out there. I shared an apartment with some friends, but their friend was from Buffalo and he was like into real estate and he was making lots of money because you got to think the mountains are right there too. Mm-hmm. So all those mountain properties are high end, and then even like certain parts of Denver were already like either gentrified or the rent was already, you know, so he was making money on real estate in like 2006 out there. And I can imagine, I don't know what it's like now with the shit we're talking about, you know, but my girlfriend, I looked at houses there before we got this house and it was still pretty expensive for smaller houses there.
For context, I moved in to a townhouse. It was a 3-bedroom townhouse with two of my friends. And I think the rent was like $1,500 the first year I was there. And before I left, they moved it up to $4,500 a month, which is why we left. And this was north end of the city, like 84th and Washington, not like a very money part of the city. But like right on the border of Thornton. It was so expensive by the time I left. I just couldn't afford to stay there. And I head back east. It's wild.
That's crazy. I feel like they're the only city that really happened with, because other cities have got it legalized and it's not like, it's not crazy like that. I went to Boston a few months ago and I don't think, I mean, Boston's always had some homelessness, I guess, but I guess Denver for me is just more familiar because I had been there before and then I saw the videos and I was like, whoa,
They were the first mover.
LA. Or no, I guess, was Denver before LA or?
Oh, for legal weed, not for tents.
The access to trains in the city, like there's tons of trains that run through there. And people think Denver is a lot colder than it really is. It's further south than people realize. So it's sunny, it's warm, like 300 days a year there, even in winter. So it's pretty, even with the snow, easy to survive in tents in a city like that.
I do remember the snow melting pretty rapidly. All right, Robbie, let's before we turn this into a downer about what's happened in Denver in the last 10 years.
I brought it up
because I was curious because like I'd been there before. But all right, so Robbie, obviously you're doing vocals for Sedai, but any other projects before that or currently?
I mean, I've been doing music for a long time, and I'm from Kendall in Orleans County, so I've been around Rochester since forever. I'm 35, so I've been playing for a long time, 20 years. I have an acoustic project called Honor Guide Me, which is essentially like the opposite of Sedai. It's like pretty acoustic songs, which I love doing. Before Sedai, I was in a band called Hideout, which was like a La Dispute, Touche Amore kind of sounding band out of Rochester. And one of the guys from Charity Thief now. And then before that, I was in the band I did the most touring in called This Is a Stick Up. And we were kind of like, our final record was like, you can imagine Comeback Kid with a trombone player. So it was kind of that genre of like mid 2000s punk hardcore, but we had brass, and we our early stuff was like ska and hardcore mixed together. I grew up a ska kid, which was my gateway into punk and hardcore, but once I got started playing hardcore, I kind of never looked back. So yeah, I've been doing music for a long time. It's been great.
I'm a few years older than you, but I caught wind of the whole ska thing in mid-90s, Suicide Machines, Boss Tones, all that shit. So some of that shit's timeless too. Like, I don't know. Some of the shit, you know, the dude from the Boss Tones has said, maybe I might not back or whatever, but the music's still pretty timeless. And I listened to that, I don't know if it's their first record, but like their first major label Suicide Machines record within the last couple of years, the Destruction by Definition, I think it's called.
That's the one. That's the big one. Yeah. One of my buddies, one of my good friends from my touring days is in, he drums in a band with the lead singer of Suicide Machines now. So they're friends. And yeah, I mean, that stuff was great. Scott gave us I think at the time an alternative to like the downer sort of emo stuff that was popular, which I also love, but I think I just wanted to feel a little happier in 2004. So that's how I came into that. But yeah.
Have you been a frontman for all the bands, or have you
always? I know
you said the acoustic too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always been that guy.
So was that something you were interested in like at a young age, like being the frontman of a band, or?
I think I came from a small town where there's like nothing to do. So, you know, I didn't come from like a family where we had like a ton of money, but it was like, I didn't play any sports, very, very steeped in nerd culture. And being in a band was like, maybe I'll be cool now. But now the cool thing is when you're 35, being in a band doesn't make you cool, but if you're still doing it our age, you do it because you love it, which is a great place to be. You know, when you're 18, it's your identity. When you're 35, it's like a blow off steam and genuinely enjoy the art you're making. So yeah, for sure. I got myself into it. I wasn't from a family of musicians. I figured it out. I used the internet to figure out how to play guitar, and we're here. We're doing it. These guys have liberated me from playing guitar. Now I can just run around like an animal with a microphone and just, you know, let them. Ryan's like 1,000 times better at guitar than me. So he's very good.
All right, so jumping into current stuff with Sadai, I guess we'll just kind of whoever wants to jump in on all this stuff. When did you guys form? Was that like a couple years before COVID?
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. We got going. We were really starting to get cooking, and then it was like the whole world shut down for 18 months. And, you know, in that time, we wrote some music, recorded some music, released some stuff. You know, and that's kind of, so we've been around for, which is, oh man, this is weird. It's been 6 years.
Yeah.
6 years.
We kind of like got everything off the ground, and the band got put on pause for, every band got put on pause for almost 2 years. We weren't unique in that respect.
Right.
It was unfortunate. Although I will say that I felt like Rochester's scene I felt like it was in a downturn, and now it feels like it's really climbing up. So it feels good to have had that time to grow as a band and come out again when everything, in my opinion, is really feeling very, I mean, the shows we've been on, the shows that I've attended, there's been a lot of people there. The vibes have been very positive. And that might just be me being terminally positive, but yeah, it feels like it's a good time to be in a band in Rochester.
Yeah, I think we need a few more bands maybe. I mean, there is a good diverse mix of bands, but there's not too many like, now that like the Weight We Carry and Borrowed Time don't play a ton, like there's not too many like of like the more meat and potatoes hardcore, like when I put on like more of those kind of shows, like, you know what I mean?
Well, so yeah. And I think, you know, obviously we know the guys in Weight We Carry and we played with them. And I would say bands like them and even us, guys that are older, though we have, you know, we've been in the scene and we play, we aren't as important as young bands. So I think that you're right. We always are trying to figure out who the young bands are, because I think that 16-year-olds getting in front of crowds is way more important than like us geriatric old fuckers. So anything that we can do to make that happen is kind of what we need to be doing, I think.
Well, as someone who's in my 40s, I guess I prefer a mix of young and old people.
Yeah.
I've probably mentioned on here at least 50 or 75 times by now that I'm never going to like try to go up to any teenagers and try to bring them into anything, because there's always that vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Hey, kid, you want to come to a show?
Exactly. But shout out to Deep Disdain and all the kids that are bringing younger kids into the scene. I want to start doing more all ages shit because I know that's how we're going to get more, you know, of a good mix of bands. You got something, Eddie?
Yeah. The brunch show we've been talking about for years. Dude, the three of us have been talking about the show for years where we were saying that we should put on a show, make it all ages. We can cater some food, like just like breakfast sandwiches or something, and throw a show that starts at like 2 p.m. And we can all be home by the time it gets late. All the kids can come out and have a great time. And if we can do it at some sort of bar, they can still have a bar night. Like
that's my speed right there. 2 p.m.
We've been talking about that for years.
Yeah, dude. We need to. I think now that the squirrel's back, maybe the squirrel is the place to do it. Right.
That's what I was gonna say as you were talking about that, Eddie. Honestly, is I've been thinking about hitting them up anyways about some shows. There was a show I was gonna try and do in March, but long story short, I'm not gonna do it. But I was gonna hit them up about it because now I see they're doing more stuff. But not to sidetrack too much off Sedai, but again, another concern I have is just like too many shows going on at the same time too. You know what I mean? That's why I'm trying to push the show I was gonna do in March to Buffalo or somewhere else because I'm like, there's already a show the week before, 4 days after, and you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know if people are going to every show or if we have enough of a mixed crowd to go to all the different shows. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely look actively for show flyers just to see what's going on in town, especially on nights that we play, just to kind of gauge if there's going to be any kind of draw. And I think just about every night we play a show, there's at least two others going on somewhere else in town. So it's like, maybe we'll get a draw. Maybe we won't. We've gotten lucky a few times. Some nights have been kind of dead. It just, I guess, depends on what else is going on in town. There's definitely no shortage of bars, no shortage of shows in that regard. It's just, I think, like you said, just the right shows and the right spacing of shows. So it's not too much.
We usually don't end up on a lot of those meat and potatoes hardcore shows either. I mean, we'd love to play those shows, but
I was going to say, I'll put you guys on one.
Thank you. Yeah.
You know?
Fuck yeah.
Those shows look like a riot. I mean, I've been to a few of them too, so they're a good time. Yeah. But I mean, the one that we did at Cali Brew House was like that, and it was a great time. And I was so happy to see a bunch of younger kids there, and like we played this, you know, Spirit Killer was there, and they were old like us, but they rocked. So I love seeing other older guys still doing it. Makes me so happy to see that.
Yeah, one of my big things with booking shows moving forward is trying to do like mixed bills. Like, I don't want to get super crazy with it. Obviously, like everything that someone would call hardcore adjacent, you know, or like when I start putting rappers on shows down the road, that's another, you know, thing. But like, I don't want to have like sometimes you'll see like a ska band, a metal band. Like, I don't want to get too crazy. I know we have a common bond with ska, obviously,
right.
I'm probably not going to be putting any two-tone bands on the hardcore shows anytime soon, you know.
Yeah,
just keep it in the pocket.
Honestly, we experimented with that a lot in the early 2000s, and those shows were always kind of weird and tribalistic, unfortunately.
That seems like a crowd that's kind of weird to mix together. Like, I know some of those kids do both like ska and hardcore. Obviously, when you mix even like different kinds of hardcore and like other genres, you get a little nervous, like how it might turn out. But I feel like sometimes some of the guys in hardcore are just a little too closed-minded for the ska kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so we experienced that a lot in Stick Up because we were too ska for the hardcore kids and too hardcore for the ska kids, and it was, you get in those awkward situations or on these mixed bills, and you know, when you're young and idealistic, I think you really want those shows to happen. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you book, so you understand. It can be kind of weird.
So what's the most recent recording? You guys haven't done anything too recently, right? It was like, what, like 2 years ago now? It's crazy. We're in 2024 now, right?
Yeah, that was the Release Control EP. I think that was 2022. But we have other things that are recorded and we're working on mixing them right now. So we're going to release a single relatively soon. I'm not sure exactly when we're going to do that, but we have another three songs, one of which is already recorded. And you know, we're plugging away. We're hopefully going to release another four, maybe five songs this year.
Yeah. Awesome. It seems like that's
easy to say that in January, right? But
yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like singles. Yeah, singles definitely seems like the route that bands are taking now, and it took me a little adjusting to get used to it because I'm more used to like the physical, like a full length or an EP, yeah. You know. And now bands are doing, like, even when bands hit me up to promote shit, they'll like send me shit like 4 months later. They'll be like, "Oh, here's the full EP now," and I'm like, "I've seen every one of these songs already." You know what I mean? Like, so it gets kind of confusing in that regard, but it makes more sense because, like, there's so much music being distributed now, A, and B, like, people just have that attention span where I feel like you have to be in their face, like, every few months as opposed to, like, once every 18 months or whatever, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely true. We're definitely, I've heard it referred to as day trading attention at this point. Like, it's just, there's so much, you know, with social media and the internet just coming in, and, you know, at a certain point, it's like, you know, and I've had conversations with people about this where it's like, you know, there'll probably never be another time where like a full length album comes out and everybody's listening to it, right? Because there's just so much coming out. Like, you know, I remember being younger and, you know, some of like the emo stuff would come out and like everybody was listening to it, right? Like the whole school was listening to the same record, and it's like, that's probably just never going to happen again.
About 3 hours. Now, in about 3 hours, myself and some of my friends will probably all be listening to Benny the Butcher's debut full-length album.
Fuck yeah.
But other than that, it doesn't happen that much anymore. Sure, I'm sorry, sure. Ryan, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, the whole kind of game has changed in a lot of ways. I think there's marketing tricks now to keep you active on Spotify. Continuously releasing singles gets plays on your monthly plays. I think a lot of people are trying to just get signed to labels and go that route. And then on top of it, nobody's listening even to 20-minute full lengths anymore, especially in hardcore. Like, a 30-minute album is like a marathon for a lot of people. So you just, I think it's going to, I don't know if it'll die necessarily as a part of the art form, but I think you're going to just see less and less of it even more going forward.
Yeah, smaller, faster releases seem to be the way to go.
I don't think this many bands is going to be able to exist for much longer. I've been saying that to a few people recently. Like, there's, like, within hardcore and, like again, hardcore adjacent, whatever you want to call it, like, it's insane how many new releases. I was telling my girlfriend who doesn't listen to hardcore, I was like, this is like any other type of bubble. It's going to burst eventually. Like, there's just, like you were saying, like, a lot of these bands are doing this shit to try to get signed. And once they realize, like, the ones who aren't here, like you guys, who are here because you love the music and you want to be a part of the community, like, the ones that are here to try to make a leapfrog, so to speak, when they realize they can't do that, they're just going to move on to something else. And I think like a third or more of the music that's being distributed now will not be out, you know what I mean? Because there's just no way. Like, it's just insane. Like, it's literally like 7 or 8 releases every day sometimes, like with singles and EPs and shit.
It's hard to know. Well, I think the ability to record a record in your own house that actually sounds really good doesn't sound like it was recorded in your house, it, especially if, you know, you pass it off to a good mastering studio who knows what they're doing. You can make artificial drums, amp sim, everything. So I think the barrier to entry is a lot lower than it's ever been, which makes that more real. And I think that what you're saying about, you know, bands moving on, I mean, that's probably always been the case. It's just that in the past, bands wouldn't bring a record to distribution unless they were really going for it. I think, you know, you can kind of hobby out a record while you're going to college or in high school or have a full-time job now, you know, before it was a substantial undertaking. But what I think hasn't changed is the value of the live performance. So I think now more than ever, your record is just an ad for your live performance. And then in a way, I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, we were giving CDs to people in the early 2000s. We didn't care. We weren't trying to make any money, you know, giving people flash drives and shit like that before vinyl came back. And we just wanted people to come and hang out. And if they bought a shirt, whatever. But like, I see what you're saying. I mean, the chance of hitting it is still really hard. And I think also people don't understand that, like, a lot of that is like, did your parents buy you onto a bunch of tours? You know, I hate to be like cynical about that, but like, that is kind of what it is, right? I mean, for a lot of these younger bands, you know, you got to get bought onto a tour, or you got to have, I mean, still got to be talented, dedicated, and relentless. I mean, we'll take away from these young bands, you know, but
Yeah, I just I one thing I always promote on the podcast is I always try to keep things like authentic and like the community and the values that we were all kind of brought up on within, like, whether it's hardcore, punk, or anything like underground or rebel culture, basically, you know what I mean? Because
sure,
I think in the new generation sometimes a lot of that gets lost, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying people have to be like respecting all the bands that came around 30 or 40 years ago, even, you know what I mean? Like, maybe know where the roots are, like we were talking about the old ska bands and shit, like know where sure. all that shit came from and whatever you're into, you know what I mean? But I think, like, Greg and I talk about this a lot. I think community is very important for us for hardcore and punk and all that stuff. And sometimes when I think it turns into more of like a commodity, I think that whole community aspect gets kind of swept away, you know?
I definitely think, I mean, my biggest hardcore influences is like the second, you know, the youth crew revival movement of like 2006 to that, like Have Heart, Verse, With Honor, Bane. Those are the bands that I really like in hardcore. And that was a big part of that, right? It was music about values and honesty. And so for me, that runs deep in my blood. I totally understand. Although I'm wary as I get older of trying to gatekeep what someone's take on the genre should be, because I think that becomes very exclusionary. So if for somebody, you know, if you're a Zoomer and you like to put out a single every once in a while, and you're, I guess I just don't want to tread into a territory where I look like Principal Skinner, you know, is it the children who are out of, you know, who are out of touch, or it's the children who are out of touch or whatever he said, you know,
yeah, it's definitely a fine line. I hear you on that. Cause like whenever I talk about all this stuff, I'm always thinking of a few bands in particular and never saying any of their names or anything, because I definitely don't want to sound like, you know, that guy or anything. But I'm trying to think. So you guys are doing some singles. Oh, yeah. The show, you guys, because we still got a lot of Rochester listeners. We're more international now, too. But
cool.
When this airs, I'm trying to think, it'll be like the first weekend of February. You guys are playing like the following weekend at the Bug Jar, right?
We actually had to drop that show.
Did you?
Yeah, so I have to fly down to Florida for work literally that morning, not realizing it when we agreed to do it. So I think Sunflower is coming into town to take our spot for that.
We interviewed them recently.
Yeah, I loved it. That's I ended up reaching out to them after that interview too, trying to get us to trade some shows to bring them to Rochester and us to go out to see. I think they're what, Potsdam?
Yeah, I think so. Not North Country or whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they seem like good guys.
Yeah.
Trying to think of what else. Then I don't want to just have this interview be like us talking about how horrible Denver is now and me shitting on anybody under the age of a certain age who's coming into the scene trying to make their way or whatever. Like start bands and play music. I'm definitely not trying to discourage that. Obviously, you know.
Actually. We had a long conversation with the guys in Only Shallow at the Brew House, the show that you booked, and we were talking about this very thing. We specifically are concerned with trying to make the Rochester scene not gatekeepy. I feel like I've been on the outside of that. Like, what I mean is, I feel like I haven't really understood that, and Jared and Matt or have some very strong feelings about it. And I guess maybe I just don't know enough people to feel like there's a problem, but I think that we want it to be as inclusive as possible even in terms of sound. So that's become very important to me. You know, I remember feeling weird about not being a part of the hardcore scene, even though my band had breakdowns and two steps, but because we had a trombone, we weren't hardcore enough. And I was like, I don't think I want to make another band feel that way, you know, because they wear baggy pants and I wear tight pants or whatever. They like Beatdown and I like Youth Crew. Like, I don't give a fuck. You know, you're playing loud music. And also now, you know, it feels like guitar music culture is not as prominent as it was 30 years ago. So I think when I see young kids doing it, even if they're playing something that sounds like, I don't know. You know, some hardcore ends up being kind of like new metal adjacent almost. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but something can kind of be like that. Like, even if it's like that, you know, or if it's more like metal, I just don't care. I think I just am excited to hear somebody expressing a tremendous amount of genuine emotion into a microphone or with their arms and hands and feet while performing, that I just don't care to want it to be a specific way. And I think that those values you were talking about can come about organically as a result of building community. So,
yeah, I think that is the happy medium that we were kind of talking about, walking a fine line, because that's a lot of stuff. Because Jared and I are in a group chat with some other gray beard people from the scene. We talk about a lot of stuff like this a lot about, I mean, just trying to make things the way, not the way it was, but kind of the way it was, but in a modern way, you know what I mean? Like keep the community vibe, but like still moving forward, like you're saying, because obviously hardcore and punk and again, all the, I'm making it all kind of one. Cause like you're saying, like I'm not, when I book shows, I'm not trying to have all five bands sound the same either. So I'm kind of lumping it all together too. So, the scene's definitely a lot more diverse than it was even 10 years ago, you know what I mean? So I think keeping things inclusive, like you're saying, and keeping the mixed bills going is a great idea moving forward. So I guess we'll get you guys on something else. I'll hit you guys up after the episode with ideas and stuff for the rest of the year. But is there anything else you guys have coming up or anything that we missed before we start wrapping up and doing the social media plugs and stuff?
Not really. I think we're just trying to get some new music out. We're kind of taking it slow on shows while Ed is expecting first baby, and just trying to make sure that he's got enough time to not have to worry about this while we write. And yeah, I don't know, to correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I think we're just going to kind of have a little bit of an easy first half of the year while we get some things together. And yeah, really push for the back half.
Yeah, we're doing what we can, right? Obviously, I can't commit to like going out of town or something like that, or you know, we'll see what kind of baby we get, and we'll go from there. But we're gonna be writing, we're recording, we got a whole bunch of things that are brewing, and that'll be great. And hopefully, you know, if we're on the podcast again towards the end of the year, we'll be talking about, you know, our three singles or our EP and a couple more singles, and just kind of writing and releasing and just keep going from there.
I would like to say that one thing I'd like to add is I want to bridge the gap between Rochester and adjacent cities more. One of the things I was talking about with Jared. So like anything that, if you're listening to this podcast, if you want to bring us or any of the Rochester bands to Buffalo, Syracuse, Albany, we will make it happen for you here too. Obviously we're not beggars. So I would love to trade shows with anybody. Obviously after Eddie achieves full dad status, he already does enough puns, you know, we've been calling each other dad for a long time, but now he's about to really make it happen.
I've been ready with the jokes for a long time.
Yeah
I agree with bridging the gap with the scenes. I like what Skylar did with you know, the Upstate Unity Fest the last couple years, and I try with my shows to have, like, as I'm sure you guys have noticed, like one Buffalo and one Syracuse band on every show when possible. I know those guys sometimes book all the Syracuse bands on one show, so it makes it kind of hard to bring them back like a couple weeks later or whatever. So, but shout out to Pure Bliss for always being available. But yeah, we'll talk more later this year. Sounds like you guys will have some more singles coming out. We'll obviously premiere some of those here when possible too. But any other shout outs, or you guys want to plug the social media and stuff like that where the people can get a hold of you guys?
Yeah, sure. On Instagram, we're Sedai Band, SEDAI Band. Obviously we're on Spotify. Where else are we, guys? Are we on Facebook? Who uses Facebook? Do people use that anymore?
Not really.
Is that even a thing? I don't even know.
We're mostly on Instagram. We have the Facebook, so like you can find us on Facebook and you can message us there. But I mean, the big one is Spotify, right?
Yeah.
That's where you'll find our music. Yeah. It's, you guys can, you know, we're really on all streaming platforms. I use Spotify, but I know that we're on Apple and other things as well. So if you're not a Spotify user, search for Sedai and look for pictures of us or our little logo, and you'll hear our music.
Yeah, there's a good chance if you message the Instagram page, I'll be pretty quick to answer it. So for any of the bands out there that want to reach out, just hit us up. We're happy to try and get you into town.
We'll play in your basement. So just open your basement up. We're coming.
Yeah.
The Hardcore Archive Podcast is Josh Lyons and Greg Benoit with creative support from Rob Antonucci.
This podcast is a product of the Rochester Hardcore community. Theme song provided by Stand Fast.
Visit Hardcore Archive Podcast on Linktree to listen to past episodes.
Follow Hardcore Archive Podcast and Enterprise Hardcore Podcast on Instagram for updates.
If you have an idea for an episode or would like to have your band's music featured during the closing credits, please contact us at hardcorearchivepodcast@gmail.com.